And welcome to After Hours on a stormy Kansas City evening. Jay Pinkley with my longtime friend, Julio Sanchez. What's up, Julio?
I like the intro. It's like a little bit of a wrestling intro there.
I've known you for a long time, and standing behind you, who happens to be in this building too, my great partner from Character Concerns, Kristen Osero, who's up here doing some other stuff. The Monarchs game we have over on 1660, but Chris is up here, and of course, Chris and I have our latest edition of Character Concerns, the Chiefs NFL Draft podcast we put out on Tuesday as we amp this thing back up. You know, it's
ramping up.
We had the big Liberty Landing party, and then we had the draft, the full coverage of the draft. Then Chris and I did wrap-ups and stuff like that, plus we did a Sunday show. Then we kind of shut it down until minicamps were over. That was our deal. Shut it down until minicamps are over, and then there'll be plenty more in training camp. Then we'll start looking at the matchups, man, because we got college football coming up in August. I can almost say next month, Julio. I can almost freaking say next month, but we're close. We're close to July, which is really crazy. The 4th of July is next weekend. This show, I told a friend of mine or something, I said, I just feel like I told you, like, Merry Christmas, like a Happy New Year or something. I'm already saying, like, Happy 4th. Like, it's coming up that fast.
I feel like we didn't even have spring.
We just got married, Julio. So I did. That kind of takes time up, you know?
A little bit.
It takes your time up. Jackson's in here training with you tonight, so good to see you, my friend. This guy right here, these two guys standing in here, and, of course, you were just with Rob Brenton. You're getting the best of the best, man. These guys have been here.
We're the old vets. That's right.
They've been here forever. And, of course, Rob's probably been doing it forever, and he knows what he's doing the best. Julio, I've known you for, like, at least 10 years, probably. Same with Duno Cerro.
About that, yeah.
But these guys are the best of the best. Outside, you guys look at this rain.
Oh, man, it was brutal driving in.
It looks like the royal season, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it looks like the royal season.
Small
I mean, seriously, though, it does.
We're already starting, huh?
No, I'm just saying, there's no jokes here. I'm just saying, that looks like the royal season.
Yeah, no, it's 100% fair. That's where we're at right now, Bing.
I mean,
that's where we're at.
And we're going to talk some football, too, Julio, because you do some stuff with the Kansas City Chiefs as well. So you're doing it again this year, I suppose?
Of course.
So we'll talk some football. We'll talk some Royals. A lot of stuff to talk about. Our phone number is 913-586-7965, the same as the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Kind of curious where everybody stands with the Royals at this point, Julio, as you sit there and watch the lightning. There's a lot of lightning up there. There's a ton.
I'm telling you, it was brutal driving in.
It just hit Overland Park right now, you know what I'm saying? I know that we're breaking here from the Royals and doing storm, and we're not storm coverage here. I mean,
Mr. Weather Guy, you know?
Well, so I'm a weather
people
guy.
People expect this.
But I go kind of by the old-fashioned way. It's raining. I mean, I just open the window a lot, look outside. Yeah. Ah, there's rain. So Overland Park's getting – you know what's going to happen, though. You know what's going to happen by – like 7 o'clock or 7:30, the skies will open up and it'll just be hotter than hell again. It'll be humid and sticky.
Now extra muggy. That's correct.
I'm sure it's great now because it's kind of cooling things off because it's been hotter than hell, but it's going to cool off a little bit. Dude, it was like 88 last night, man.
It's officially summer, my man. Officially summer.
It's what you get in the summertime, right? You get road construction and you get hot weather. That's exactly what you get. But the Royals, I don't know how much, I know you've had a lot of things going on, Julio, clearly. Have the Royals captivated you all? Have you gotten a discussion? Because I've been with Alex Gold here, not today, but like the previous 6 days before that. And there was a lot of Royals discussion with us. Our expectations for the homestand. And we even talked about the expectations, you know, coming off that road trip they had in Texas and San Diego. And we even talked about those series as we sat here on the show last week. And, of course, it's a new week because they came home. Same results.
That's kind of been the trend all season, hasn't it? And I'm not a big Royals guy, they've given me a reason not to tune in at this point.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, but quite honestly.
I know. Hey, man, you cut your teeth on football. You do that. You're great at football, and you work for the Chiefs and everything else. But the Royals need to captivate you, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to grab a hold of you.
I am the definition of a casual fan.
You're a casual fan.
Yeah.
And I get it. You work here. But you do a lot of Chiefs stuff. So, I mean, you're doing night shows or whatever with me. So, we talk about everything.
And I still pay attention. I still keep tabs, but I don't go out of my way to watch games. I don't go out of my way to go to games.
Well, it's far different from me. I mean, of course, I used to be a lot more locked in because when I was doing daily shows and everything. And then when I did Royals Insider, I clearly had to be locked in for pregame and postgame of what they were doing every night. But I'll be honest with you, when I was doing it, it was not good. And coming up with the questions for Ned Yost before and after games wasn't good. But I'll tell you this much. If you listen to Q – after the game tonight on the network.
Frustrated.
Yeah, he was. He had had it all. Hey, we're playing tomorrow. Damn. I mean, I get it, man. I'd be the same way. I totally get him being frustrated, because how could you not be frustrated? Because we all like to do good at our jobs, right? Like, you don't want to show up at your, you know, if you're a car salesman, you don't want to show up and have everybody else selling cars and you're not selling anything because it's right there on the billboard. You're like, who sold more cars this month, right? You don't want that.
Well, and look, there's losing is losing, right? I understand that, but you can lose in a pretty fashion and you can lose in an ugly fashion. And this is just ugly losing. It's not entertaining.
It's completely ugly. Let me put it this is the way it is. All right. 10 straight losses at home. We know that. 7 straight series losses. They have not won in the month of June at Kauffman Stadium. You heard me right. They've not won once in the month of June. And we're sitting here, what's today, Julio? 25th?
That's correct.
We get 3 more against the Dodgers, right? you get the one of the best teams in baseball, and Shohei Ohtani's pitching Saturday. He's been typically going 1 or 2 innings. Watch him go 7 this game. I'm saying, because you can't.
I mean, with this offense, why not?
Because here's what they're doing. Against the Rays, keep in mind, they swept the Rays earlier this year. Last year, 3-3 against the Rays, so it's probably going to be, well, it's going to be 3-3 this year, too. 3-3 last year against the Rays, 3-4 the year before. They usually play them pretty close. Of course, Matt Quatrero, the manager of the Royals, used to come from the Rays. He came from that analytical system they have there. But game one, 5-1, the Royals had 4 hits in game one. Game two, 3-0, 3 hits. Today, 4-0, 5 hits in game three. And we haven't exactly seen Cy Young award-winning pitching coming out from the Rays. They almost got a perfect game thrown against them in game one against a pitcher that was hovering around 5 for an ERA that had given up 7 runs in one game, 6 in another. So all told, that's 12-1 they lost, which the Royals' pitching is still good. This would have been much, much worse, of course. 12 hits in 3 games. Remember when they used to give out freaking donuts for having 12 hits in a game? They got 12 freaking hits in 3 games.
I mean, that's the antithesis of this entire season.
It is.
I mean, and unless pitching is perfect,
it is.
Why tune in again?
It's frustrating. Well, I go on with Fesco, right, on every Wednesday. Fesco and Dusty, right? I go on with them at 6:45. And we generally talk football, right? It's the moment of college football. We've kind of morphed into some NFL stuff, and we talk football. But every once in a while, they throw a Royals question at me, too. And they asked me what I thought of the game. And this was from Tuesday night that they asked me Wednesday.
That game last night really pissed me off, to be honest with you.
I can say that now about all of them. I can say that about all of them. And
that's
then their
correct.
Poll question was, who do you want hitting third? And they gave a couple choices on the poll question, so they asked me, who do you have hitting third? I said,
Nobody.
Nobody.
I was going to say, is there an option for anybody?
Does it really matter? No, it doesn't, but it's frustrating. And I'll get to it, and we'll take some calls here, too. I'll get to the... Do you wait till the All-Star break before you decide to sell all off? Or, it's getting tough now.
To
making a move to get rental pieces or whatever for this team, because other teams are going to do it. You know they are, and there's a small pool of teams that are still in it, still out of it. The Royals were kind of in it. They were in that mixed up mess of 9 teams within 2.5 games. And you keep saying, and I keep waiting because I'm still a sucker for it. Every night I say, they're going to turn it around. Tonight's tonight. But I stopped doing that. Like, I go off Vern every Sunday for the gambling segment on the Royals pregame, and we give our, you know, the prop bets, you know, like wit home run or wit stolen base or parlays or whatever we do.
Just taking the under on everything?
No. I could, but I told Vern, I was like, and I'm back in first, because last year I was dead last. Year before, I finished second to Rob. This year has been me and Alex Gold, but I've been one, and here's why I've been one. Because I've made the commitment. I said, I'm done with hitting props. I'm done with stolen base. I'm done with hitting props. I'm only going pitchers to different lines. How many innings, how many strikeouts, that kind of, and I've been freaking nails, man, because this pitching staff is just carrying me right through. All of them. It's been a beautiful thing, Julio. It's got me right back in the race, of course. Just stick with, like, I trust the pitching, not the hitting. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to some people and see what their thoughts are at this point. Let's go to Steph in KCMO. Steph, how are you doing tonight, buddy? Hey, Steph, turn that noise back behind you. I can't hear what you're saying.
Yes, my name is Stephen Lindsay from Midtown. Let me turn it down. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Steph.
Yeah, I look at this, and as frustrated as I am, you look at the Yankees. You look at the 2014-15 Royals. They used to take professional at-bats. Even the average people on those teams used to take professional at-bats. the Yankees this year, the Dodgers, they take professional at bats. The average players take, but they take their time. George Brett said it before. You wait until you find the ball, you can drive. Everybody doesn't have to hit a home run. We don't need everybody to save everybody. All they have to do is be who they are, hit the ball, put the ball in play.
No, it would be nice to see a few more home runs, though.
It's like they're hunting for home runs only.
Well, they're trying to win five games in one.
And ground balls. Well, they're not taking professional at bats at all.
Yeah, they're trying to get everything back at once, I think, Steph. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it all up. And they don't hit home runs, and that's been a problem. And runners in scoring, they've been getting hits. I mean, they do get hits. It's just they don't get hits when there's runners in scoring position.
When it actually matters. That's
and
correct.
I've got my own thoughts on that, too. They kind of clam up a little bit when there's runners in scoring position. And I think other teams take advantage of that. I think they pitch inside them a lot. And I think they make the Royals hitters feel uncomfortable when there's runners in scoring position. Because you know what? That's what they should be doing. And that's exactly what they're doing. Because they know the Royals ain't going to do anything about it. And that's the problem. The 14 and 15 team, they do something about it. Like, you're going to come inside them, they're going to do something about it.
Wow, that's a clip. Thank you for that one. I'm gonna cut that one. The sad part is there's not a move or two that the Royals are gonna be able to make that's gonna make that much of a difference. That I'm at the point now where, again, they probably should start selling sooner than later, and get their money's worth and start looking towards next year, because I don't think much is out there that's gonna help them with where they're at right now.
Yeah, it's not just one bat now at this point. It's multiple. No. The sad thing to me is I'm a big fan of windows in sports. You cash in when your window's there. You got to know when to do it. Second 14. You know, I'll give the ace credit, Billy Beane. That was a good ace team that the Royals played in that wild card game. But you know what they did? They pushed it all in. And you know, I give them credit for doing it, because they took their chips, they pushed them all in the middle of the table. It didn't work out for them. It was a great game against the Royals. Great game. It was a classic game against the Royals in that wild card game. And then in 15, you know what the Royals did? They pushed it all in. Cueto, Zobrist, they traded five pitchers for it. They got what they wanted. If it didn't work out, it was going to set the organization back, because it did clearly for 10 years. But you know what? In the end, it doesn't matter, because that banner flies forever. But they pushed all in. You got to know when to push all in, and they knew to push all in. Seth and Liberty, what do you have to say?
Yeah, so when I look at the Royal season right now, I mean, gosh, we're 4 months into it, so we're just about halfway through. So I don't think it's as dark as what we're really wanting to look at right now. I mean, wild card is still potential if the Royals can make the right adjustments. But I think that's really what we need to focus on. What is that right adjustment? When I watch the Royals play, I feel as if there's an energy problem. You know, they go to the plate, it's embarrassing to watch. They're lacking that high energy. I see high potential, but just a low performance. So we need to make adjustments to where that performance matches that potential that we have. So I want to hear you guys take. I mean, what kind of adjustments? I mean, we're talking about trade. There's sure. Other types of adjustments too. Like, what do you think? I mean, I think it's really just that energy problem, whether it's we're looking at just like a disconnected locker room. What adjustments do you think will have the highest impact to where we can get that performance to match that potential that we do have? Because we have a great team.
Well, that's debatable there. I mean, some parts of it are.
That's correct. That's correct.
In theory, they should be better, right? In theory, you know, you shouldn't have to worry about Bobby Witt and Sal and Vinny and all this, and Jack should be coming up here and hitting home runs. I mean, in theory, and Mikel Garcia, what he's doing. I mean, in theory, they got some players that can play.
Well, there's
but in reality, they ain't doing it.
There's no more adjustments for them. I mean, they've made basically all the adjustments they've had. They've played all their cards at this point. I mean, it's to the point now where the core players just have to step up and do what was expected of them. And that, I think, is the only thing that's going to pull this team in a positive direction. Otherwise, I mean, again, there's no more levers to pull. They've done everything they could.
No, they haven't. They keep slipping back. They're 4 games back at this point. But he made some good points there, and points that I'll address. I'll take a timeout. Again, our phone number is 913-586-7965. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez, Jackson's back here helping us as well. We'll take your phone calls, your text. You name it, we'll address it. We'll try to figure out this problem as we continue. Let's see. I told you, storm's over.
Give it 5 minutes.
The Royal season's not. So it's only the halfway point. It's 81 games, halfway debatable point. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez, producing the operation. Royals fall today as they're swept for three straight series. It's crazy to say. Swept for three straight series. They haven't won at home in the month of June. We are on the 25th. This is all true. And they've lost 10 consecutive games at home, but shut out twice on this homestand to the Rays, the team they swept earlier in the year in April. Again, it doesn't matter when you play them. You got to play right now. And they haven't done it. It sucks because this pitching is so good. The ERA, 3.41, fourth in Major League Baseball, third in the American League, fifth ERA of starters, third in the AL, relievers, seventh in baseball, fourth in the AL. Meaning this pitching staff is good enough to carry you into the postseason, win games in the postseason. They just need a few runs to crumb across the plate, and they're not getting them. And it's frustrating. So, yeah, you sit here and you wait for it to happen, and it just never does, man. It just never does. It's like Hangman and Top Gun Maverick, right? You wait for it, wait for the moment, it just never happens. Well, I keep waiting for it. I mean, I don't wager on anymore with the hitters, the pitchers, yeah. You know, strikeouts, things like that. There's some smart ways to handle Royals baseball or betting on the other team's hitters. That's fine, too. But no, text line. It's not our job to get you excited about the baseball, but I do want to see this team turn around. I mean, we do have an NFL team and a Major League Baseball team. I want to see them both do well. I want to see the Royals parlay what they did last year, and that's make the postseason. And it looked like it early on. And when they won 16 of 19, whatever it was, things looked good. But they were doing it with smoke and mirrors because they're doing it with this great pitching they have, this great pitching staff. And then you got Noah Cameron coming out from St. Joe from out of nowhere just being awesome. Chris Bubich pitching as well as he has in his whole career, right? Right now and right in front of you. He's been that good. Like, you look forward to his starts. And they continue. Seth Lugo goes out and does what he does. Michael Lorenzen was good enough to win the game today, to be quite honest with you. He was. And that's the case for most of this pitching staff. They're good enough to win. That's the hard part. Like, it's the sports windows. You got to be good at both. Just like football. I mean, yeah, if you have a bad defense, you can have a guy like Mahomes. Think about his rookie year. The first year he started in 18, put up 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. Why'd that happen? Because he had a bad defense. He had to do that.
I was like, you don't have to be good at both, but you better be exceptional at least at one.
Or at least exceptional at one, but they didn't win it all that year. You know what I'm saying? But they did go to the AFC title, but they didn't win it all. But then they've won with their defense, but their offense was still middle of the pack. Like, this last 2 years, they've still been middle of the pack. They've gone to the Super Bowl. You just can't be that bad, like the run scoring, and that good at pitching. You got to be somewhere in the middle for the other part, for the hittings. Like, you got to be somewhere in the middle. And the best teams in football and baseball are the ones that are kind of good at both. They can hit and can run. You don't have to be, top four, top five.
Top 15.
Top 10, top 15. I mean, you could do things like that, but they are wasting this opportunity with great pitching. But I'm a fool because I keep waiting for it to change. Because I remember Alex.
Glutton for punishment, huh?
Kind of, yeah. You could say that. So Alex and Golden and I were talking about expectations for the road trip. And, okay. They had the day off after the players only meeting, which they didn't win at that game because it was at the K. No, they had the players only meeting. I said,
no, they didn't.
So they didn't win. But then they had a day off. Then they go to Texas. And they sweep the freaking Rangers, right? They sweep them. And not only that, the one day they gave Jack off, and he gave Jack the day off, yep. And he comes back and hits a couple home runs.
I know.
I heard this. Thank you. I caught myself. And then they hit a couple home runs, or he hit a couple home runs after that. I mean, he timed it well. That was perfect managing. Give this guy, a little bit of a break. Then they go to San Diego, win the first one. It's like, oh, man, it's four in a row. And, at this point, the Twins were still losing. Cleveland was still winning. I mean, they were actually making ground. They actually made their way up to second place in the division last weekend. And then you're like, all right, what can they do at home? So they have the off day. And I'm like, all right, they're going to turn things around. They're going to turn things around here at home. And then Tuesday. Same noise Wednesday, and a flush today. That's how they performed. And it's 10 straight losses. I know the joke last night was the Savannah Bananas have won more recently at Kauffman and the Royals. I mean, it was kind of a joke going around. But
it's true.
That's the problem. Those damn Bananas have won more here than the Royals have this month. I mean, this team is too good to lose all these games at home. And I remember, when Dayton Moore was GM here. And I think JJ's doing a great job with what he has in front. He tried to make moves in the offseason and bring it out, but he tried to do that. You can only do what you can do because these guys had to perform. It's not him going to the plate. I mean, look at this pitching staff. It's not created by just magic. The magic fairy didn't wave a wand and say, oh, I have good pitching in Kansas City. But it's some of the best pitching in Major League Baseball right here. But you don't have anything else to go with it. But Dayton Moore, when he was in Atlanta all those years, he learned a lot from Bobby Cox. Same thing with Ned Yost. But Bobby Cox used to build that Braves team around their ballpark. players that would kind of fit the scheme, fit the system. And, yeah, you look at this team and are they built for this deal? I mean, I heard what Jonathan Indy the other day was talking about, you know, the ballpark big and home runs and stuff like that. Well, let me tell you this. Other teams don't have a problem hitting home runs here. The Royals do. The Royals do. But they don't have a problem hitting home runs. I get it. But you know what? It's hot. The ball's flying. You got to be able to get it. So, but it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. Do it. I mean, I saw Vinny Pasquantino hit a home run in Texas. It wasn't a home run in Texas, but he hit one 413 feet, which would have been a home run in 22 ballparks. I mean, it happens. But it's not an excuse. When other teams are doing it, it's not an excuse. Got to hit. It's Major League Baseball. It's part of Major League Baseball is hitting.
Well, you can't just hit.
Damn baseball.
Got to hit with runners in scoring position.
But I keep thinking it's going to change because I'm a fool. But you know what? I don't stick with what I should stick with, which is you are what you are June 1st. Like you kind of know what you are June 1st. Yeah, you can go on a run or something, but you really kind of know who and what your team is by June 1st. And now we're almost to July 1st, so you damn well know what this team is at this point. It isn't getting easier for the All-Star break. Yeah, the Pirates come to town. Yeah, that might be good, you know, get some wins because they can't score either. But you might face pulse schemes and, you know, that score might end up 1-0, but try to be the team with 1-0 because it does happen because Skeens goes out and pitches as well and then ends up losing the game because that's kind of what he's been doing this year. But then they finish the All-Star before the All-Star break with the New York Mets. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Brian here in stormy Overland Park. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how are you doing, Dusty?
How are you, my friend? It's Jay.
I'm sorry, Jay. I apologize.
Dustman was here early, man. He was here 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Dustman's probably got a cold one right now, just chilling. He was at the ball game all day.
Hey, more power to him. Sounds like a good idea at this point.
Yeah, I think alcohol would be a nice thing for Royals fans right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know. I don't want to call in acting like I'm a baseball, you know, god or something.
Well, you don't have to be. You're just a fan. I mean, it's what they need. I mean, they just need everybody to enjoy the product. I mean, people spend the money, you know, like you, Brian, they go spend the money, go to the ballpark, pay for parking, pay for concessions, pay for everything like this, and you want to see at least that effort. I'm going to talk about that effort Seth mentioned a little bit ago, but what about you, Brian? Yeah. You going out to the ballpark? Were you out there today?
I wasn't out today. I think last series we went was a Rocky series, actually. We've had a slew of stuff here recently, so I haven't been able to get out.
That's a good booty call team.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have a few series coming up here.
Unfortunately, the Royals have been that for other teams.
Yeah, I know it. Well, that's what I just want to more have a question than I want to say something, I guess. I've been listening to all the shows and everyone talking about the Royals and, you know, and you guys have touched on it a couple of times tonight, which I haven't heard up until tonight. And the biggest difference I see between our team and the rest of the teams and the games we've played so far, because I do pay $20 a month also to watch every game on the TV if I
sure.
can.
That's what people do, and yeah.
So, you know, that they are getting hits. They're getting on base. We just can't get guys home. And I didn't know if maybe there was a couple of bats out there that aren't like, you know, superstars, you know, like everybody's wanting us to just unload all the talent we have and get someone else. Could we get a few guys to maybe try and put in that 7, 8, 9, you know, spot where we're just not able to get the guys who are getting on base in into the plate and get home? They may not exist. I'm not really.
Well, there's
sure
a few out there. I know Passan had a nice article about some of the guys that are out there and stuff. And that's a good point by you, Brian. And that's a concern with people. But you got to make the decision. You got something going like it. Because do you go all in and bring people in? Do you think this team is good enough to do it? Or do you start selling off like a Seth Lugo? It's going to be, well, he's got an option. He's clearly not going to take it with the Royals. Could he go elsewhere? And can you get anything for that? I've always said, though, Bobby Witt Jr. is untouchable. You know, but a lot of guys are, man. I mean, you listen, you pick up the phone and listen to, in my opinion, you listen to anybody that's not named Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, I don't. Salvi probably still untouchable, right? I mean, he's too much of a Royals legend.
What his age and anything?
Yeah, you wouldn't get much for him.
Yeah.
And then I think you can probably put Michael Garcia in there, right, at this point.
He's been fun to watch, and of course he shows his versatility. He's played some short. He's played some center field.
A lot.
It would take a lot, but, you know, again, I don't think anybody's really untouchable, though. You don't pick up the phone. You don't pick up the phone and say, all right, what do you want to do? What do you deal? It's like anything. I remember my uncle, he used to say, hey, everything I got's for sale. I mean, you know, it's kind of a good point. It's kind of a good way in life. Like, you take the Chiefs. You're not dealing with Mahomes, all right? I mean, there's just certain guys untouchable. I get that. You know, they're just untouchable. Like Bobby Witt Jr. to me, untouchable.
Cags is also untouchable at this point.
Cags, of course, he'll come around and stuff like that. But there are guys out there. Eugenio Suarez of the Diamondbacks, he's got a bruised hand at this point. His average not great, but he's still got the power. He's hit 3 grand slams this year. You know, that would be an option for as far as a rental player. It's not giving you any long-term security with it. But there's guys out there. But then you have to make the chance. It's the curse and the blessing with the third wild card because so many teams think they're, quote, still in it. And they don't want to throw in the towel. And you don't want to tell your fan base, you know, like guys like Brian, that's paying $20 a month for watching on TV. And then, you know, takes that occurrence or two at Kauffman, like most people do, you know, one or two games or whatever, and goes and spends that money. You know, to do that, you don't want to indicate you're throwing in the towel to that group when you're, quote, still, quote, in it. Like, as bad as they are, 5 games under, and I did say 3 straight series sweeps, which is not true, 3 straight home series. They've been swept, not total series, but still, they've lost 10 at home. They've been swept 3 straight at Kauffman Stadium. That's what matters.
Yeah, but if
because 81 games are here.
Does it really matter if they continue to play this way, whether you trade or not? I mean, if they traded and they were, I would pay to see that actually, and then be this bad still, because at least they're making moves and trying to improve for next season. If they're still playing this bad regardless, and don't trade and don't take advantage of this, that would piss me off even more, quite honestly.
Well, that's the thing. What do you decide to do? Because at some point, you sit here and say, well, let's just kind of wait and see what's going on. It's the problem, because this pitching staff is so good.
Wait for what?
We're in July. I know we are.
We're in July.
I know we are. But I sit here and I go, but I would like to see him make moves, but
at this point,
is it still worth doing? Because here's the thing. You get, like I said, 9 teams bundled up within 4 games, right, of the wild card. And so there's a lot of teams that think they're in. And there's a handful of teams that aren't, like the A's, like the White Sox, the American League. And the Royals are sadly getting to that point, like the Orioles. I mean, they're starting to get to that point. And in the National League, you got like 4 teams that are, quote, out of it. Don't, you know, can't see the end, light at the end of the tunnel to be in it. But they're going to be active too. You know what I'm saying? You got to play chess here, but because you know they're going to be active.
The Royals have, I think, a better hand than most in the fact that their strength right now in the trade market is pitching. I mean, pitching always brings a premium. It's not like looking for a bat. You have multiple options, that kind of thing. When you have pitching to be able to trade, that brings a lot more in my opinion.
No, it does. And pitching has been phenomenal. As I mentioned, the numbers for the Royals pitching staff, ERA 3.41, 4th in Major League Baseball, 3rd in the American League, starting rotation only, starters, 5th. In baseball, in Major League Baseball, not American League, 3rd in American League, relievers, 7th in baseball, 4th in American League. And no one wants to hear this. They don't care. There's just no wins. I mean, they're 5 games under.
It doesn't equate to wins, correct?
It doesn't. And that's the problem. But you see these guys out there, and I'm a glutton for punishment. I always think they're going to turn it around. But I think there's a lot of teams that don't want to, quote, throw in the towel. And you don't want to send a message to your fan base that you're willing to sell off all your pieces. But do you add in lieu of, if you bring in bats, you got to do anything with bats? Because this team doesn't need just one bat. They need
multiple
two
bats.
And then correct. You need to figure out where they're going to play. And then you got to take heartstrings out of it and play people that deserve the play instead of ones that you want to, quote, develop that have been here for a while. I say, who cares? The name of the game is to win the game. It's all that matters, winning the game. So I don't care who's getting their feelings hurt by not playing. You got to play to win. But, yeah, it gets to the point where – and as far as the set there, the call, I think there's been a lack of desire. There's been that lack of motivation. I say it all the time. It's kind of like, you know, ho-hum, go out, talk to the other team, you know, play grab ass
we'll
on the
tomorrow
base pass,
we'll
stuff like that.
That's
yeah.
Fine.
I mean, you see the stuff like that. And I think back, you know, when I grew up, you know, watching George Brett, you know, watching Hal McCray, you know, getting pissed off after a game or after a loss, taking a baseball bat to the toilet. Now, I'm not advocating, you know, damage to toilets, but it's not the end of the world either. But I'm not advocating that. But guys that take it personally, I mean, you've seen all the stuff, like, you know, the pictures and everything from the 70s and 80s. You've seen like Freddie Patek, you know, on the bench in the dugout, you know, after the game they lost. He's all upset and stuff.
I want to see somebody pissed off in the dugout. I want to see throwing of
cooler, water coolers,
like something like that. Throw a bat around. Something.
Show that you're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. And the funny thing is, they did have the players-only meeting, right? And those that chose to talk, clearly Bobby Witt Jr. is one of those that talk, and Sal Perez, and they should. But, you know, you hear the other people talk. I don't really want to hear from anybody else. I mean, I don't. Like, if Mark Canha's speaking, who cares? I mean, who gives a damn? And the funny thing is, it's like the hitters talk, but I didn't hear about the pitchers talking. They're the ones that should talk, right? Like, that's the part of this team that's doing well. See, the pitchers talk because they're the ones going out and doing the action. They're doing the good things. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing the pitchers do. Like, Michael Walker, he could talk. He's played this game long enough. He could do some talking. But at least there's no finger pointing, because that's the dangerous thing with any team is when you start to point fingers. And that's one reason the Chiefs have always been so good. It's why they've been the seventh straight AFC title game. So they're not pointing fingers. Because clearly early on, the offense could have pointed the defense and said, guys, what the hell you doing, man? We just lost the game by scoring 50 points to the Rams. What are we doing here? They could have done that, but they didn't. And then the defense could have said, hey, offense, what are you doing, man? 15 points a game last 2 years? You know, they're still going to the Super Bowl because they were still getting the job done. You know, despite everything, they still were going on runs and doing the deal. And seven straight AFC title games, then the sniff at. It's amazing what they've been able to do. But there's not been the finger pointing, which is good, because that's good for a team not to do that. But they need to show some anger as well. Randy and Carney, what do you have to say tonight, my friend?
Hey, I enjoy your show. I don't get a chance to listen to it often, but when I do, it always kind of makes my evening go by better. So
thank you
for that. So I'm a big proponent of this, and I don't even know if I've heard too much discussion on it, but my thought is we have some really talented hitters on our team, which makes the fact that we're the worst offense since 1969 or whatever kind of frustrating. But has anyone mentioned, or what, maybe you guys are familiar with this, talking with the team and everything, what involvement does a sports psychologist have with our team? Because I think that's the missing link, in my opinion, right now, is that they're
I don't know. I mean, yeah. It's a player's choice whether they do it or not. I mean, it's kind of a private thing. So whether they do it or not, I don't know. I mean, they're probably available to them, to be honest, Randy. I would assume it's available. I just haven't heard a lot about that.
Do you remember when George Brett used to come off the disabled list all the time, and he always was, like, on fire?
Well, George Brett was on fire a lot. Whether he was on the disabled list or not, he was on fire.
He was especially known for coming off on the injured list and coming off on fire and everything. I think there's something. I've never been a pro hitter, so I don't know. But I think there's something mentally that is the missing link, in my opinion. So I'll just throw that out there for what it's worth.
It could be. I don't know. I mean, baseball is a mental game, and thanks to the call, baseball is a mental game. I mean, guys can't handle it mentally. They go back to AAA. And then when they think you're mentally ready, they bring you up. I mean, it's the only reason guys get promoted from AA to AAA or AAA to the pros is, are you mentally ready? And then if you're not, they'll send you back. And we've seen that time in and time out. We've seen Alex Gordon had to go back to the minor leagues when he was up here, and he's in the Royals Hall of Fame, but he was sent back, and he learned the outfield. He did. So he learned. Moose got his stuff sent back down to AAA at some point, and he came back, and he was on fire. And it worked out. So it happens. Anyway, we'll discuss more of this. 913-586-7965. Plus, there's been an update on stadiums, Julio. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez, and you. 913-586-7965. Clearly, you know, the Royals have been frustrating us, right? Football season. I will say this. Training camp opens July 22nd.
Perfect timing, right?
Yeah. You get football, college football starting in August, right? Week zero, 23rd, Kansas State playing in Ireland. It's Iowa State, Farmageddon. In Northern Ireland, in Dublin. Northern Ireland's where the British Open is this year, but there's Dublin, Ireland, regular Ireland. And then, of course, Kansas plays week zero as well. There should be some excitement for local college football teams coming through. But in this town, you know where the attention shifts, don't you? the attention shifts to the Kansas City Chiefs, and, well, why not? I mean, they are in a bit of a I said it the other day. I said, I think the Chiefs, a lot of teams, like Lamar Jackson was using the word vengeance and stuff. You know, with this season, we got vengeance on our mind, things like that. And I'm kind of like, all right, yeah, all right. All right, good. Good for you. You know, the Bills probably got, quote, vengeance on their mind too, right? I mean, all these teams can have, quote, vengeance. Or the Bengals, we got to have vengeance on our mind because of, you know, always losing to the Chiefs, and we didn't make the playoffs last year. But to me, the only vengeance can be the Chiefs because they're the ones that lost the whole damn thing, the Super Bowl. That's the vengeance.
Well,
and it's the tour.
The vengeance, hasn't that been a thing for the last three, four, five years?
Yeah, I keep hearing about vengeance, all these teams. Yeah. Man, it's just words at this point. No, yep. I don't really care about it. Do it on the field, get to the Super Bowl, then do the talking about, quote, vengeance. Did you see the stadium update, Julio?
Please.
Well, okay.
Enlighten me.
Well, so there's not a lot, to be honest with you, but there's something. The Star Bonds, you know, because Missouri did pony up and said, we'll give the stadium some money, and it was good. I mean, that was good that Missouri did that. And so now that they're, you know, players in this field. Because I always thought, well, there's a real possibility the Chiefs just renovate Arrowhead, you know, and go in that direction. But there's always that pie in the sky grandeur of, you know, going to Kansas and having the shops and the bars and the restaurants around you and having a dome. Because the dome does bring other things with it, like the Super Bowl. And I'll say this much. This town is in much different shape than it's ever been in the past when they last did Arrowhead renovations and all. This is much different. The sporting landscape, Kansas City, is just far different. I mean, it just is. I mean, World Cup's coming to Kansas City. It's big time to get the World Cup in your town. You know, towns like Denver won it. They didn't get it. Kansas City did. Like, that's huge. In the sports world, that's huge. It's coming to Kansas City. The NFL draft that was in Kansas City, that's huge. And I get a Green Bay and Detroit and all these places had, but Kansas City had it. And I'm not so sure they would have had it before. And you know what helps that? Is the airport. Like, the airport now can facilitate all these people, you know, cart before the horse. You know, Kathy Nelson had to try to sell these events to the NCAA to bring them here with that airport that we did have. And now it's, you know, state-of-the-art facility. That does help. It does
train
help
car,
bring things in.
I mean, lots of things.
But evidently, Kansas, they've done what we thought. You know, we heard about the Star Bonds are going to expire at the end of June. Ooh, the Star Bonds are going to expire. Well, they did exactly what I thought they'd do, and they're going to extend it. They're going to extend the Star Bonds so the Chiefs can figure out what they're doing. But eventually, you're going to have to figure it out soon. And if you're in Jackson County right now and you voted, my only advice is you had your chance, man. It was right there in front of you, man. It was right there in front of you, and you gave the teams a middle finger. So whatever they decide to do, they get to do it because you voted that, and that was your choice, and that's what you did. And all I say to that is, where are you going to come up with that 1%? Because anybody that played in that stadium, home or away, they paid that earnings tax like you pay every year to the tax man if you live in Kansas City, Missouri. And that money went to Jackson County. And when Luke Combs sang or Taylor Swift or anybody else at Arrowhead Stadium, guess what? 1% to you, which they utilize that money. Through the whole thing, I said, I never heard anybody talk about where that money's going to come from. Where's that money going to come from? You know, it fixes roads or you pay, you know, emergency services or whatever. Where's that money coming from? I don't know. I mean, it's gone. And here's the thing. I think reality set in. Oh, they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. As soon as the vote that passed, it's like Salt Lake City called, Nashville called, all these towns. They're not going to move out of the area. Could they move to Kansas? Could move out of Jackson County? Very, very easily. And I think the reality of the situation kind of set in that, oh, these teams are going to look at that other girl. But they said today that they're going to meet on July 7th. This is what Mark Donovan, Chiefs president, said. Said, quote, together we have the opportunity to bring the National Football League to Kansas, anchored by a world-class domed stadium, new team headquarters, state-of-the-art practice facility, and a vibrant mixed-use and entertainment district to the state of Kansas. Of course, they're going to have an extension probably throughout the year for the Star Bonds to, you know, put the renderings out of the dome stadium, what they want, what the proposal is. I'm not a fan of dome stadiums, Julio. I mean, I understand the money-making ability of them, though. Yeah, I'm not, you know, dumb on that part. It could be a lot of money coming in for doing something like that. And having entertainment districts, I've never figured out why a complex at really the crossroads of 435 and I-70 that would get over a million fans a year from the Royals, and then all the fans the Chiefs bring in, why things wouldn't go up around it. Like, I couldn't figure that out. But Taco Bell and Denny's and things like that, like, and Adams Mark Hotel, that's, I'm not even there anymore, I don't think. I don't even know if that Denny's is there anymore. I think it burned, didn't it?
Correct.
Like Taco Bell's like the yep. only thing. But I'm shocked because I've seen other stuff. I've seen Zona Rosa grow up and stuff. There was nothing there. The number one Applebee's in the country was on Berry Road and I-29 because there's nothing else out there. Except the airport was way up there, and no one didn't build up right around, you know, when it happened. But then it did. And then I see what goes on in Independence, how by Cable Dahmer and whatever, where the Mavericks play and all that restaurants and stuff. I'm just shocked it didn't happen there, but it didn't.
Are you a fan of a retractable roof?
I'd go more for that. I am a fan of bringing in other events. Like if a dome stadium would bring in events, I'm 100% for it. I know the Bills just putting down a new stadium where they probably could have used a dome, but they're not doing it. And so I respect that. But yeah, domes would bring you other things, other events. I get it. It's a money-making thing and having bars and restaurants. I know the Chiefs have always been enamored kind of with SoFi and these new stadiums and being able to go do things, you know, out and around them. I get that. And that's not a big deal, I don't think, to go every other week or, you know, twice a month to a stadium, you know, in Kansas. I'd rather see it stay in Missouri. Baseball is a different ballgame. Baseball is the one that, you know, brings revenue all the time to your stadium or area. But anyway, they're going to extend those star bonds. So hopefully we can get some resolution on that as we go forward. But coming up next, there is some positive news about the Royals, and it's not been the play on the field. I'll explain that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.